Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. Happy fall. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and we are just over a week away from Awaken Hope, our 35th anniversary celebration for Moms in Prayer. And I am so, so excited to see country coordinators from all around the world and Moms in Prayer group leaders from all over the United States. Be sure to come say hi to me, to Sally Burke, our founder Fern Nichols, and global director Kathy Armitage. We can't wait to see you. If you aren't going, I want you to rest easy that I am taking personal responsibility to make sure that you get the full scoop when we get home. We are nuts about you and your commitment to Jesus and your kids. Do you ever feel like your batteries are drained and you just can't figure out why? I'm not talking about your cell phone. I'm talking about your spiritual, physical, and emotional batteries as a mom and child of God. We all have. Today's guest is my new friend, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you. But I need you to know that today's topic may have a profound effect on your family. Let's ask the Lord to show us the things He wants us to see. Changes that need to be made in our busy, busy schedule as a family. Show notes from today's episode number 70 can be found on Moms in Prayer's website at momsinprayer.org. Let's welcome Sandra to the podcast. Dr. Dalton Smith, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is a gift, friend, to finally get to talk to you in person. I've long admired your work and your voice in our generation, and I can't wait for our friends to get to know you. So would you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Yes, I'm an internal medicine physician. I've been in practice now for 20 years. I'm a mom of two boys. They are both teens now. And I've been married for 19 years. We live near Birmingham, Alabama, and have just been having a great journey together, learning about what our life can look like when we really start learning the relationship between rest and trust with God.
I know our friends are going to love to hear about that. But tell me real quick, did you always want to be a doctor?
I have. I don't recall ever wanting to do anything else. I recall going to my pediatrician's office as a little girl, and it was the first time that I had a female pediatrician, and I walked in that room and I saw her, and it was like the light bulb came on that I could do that. That's something that I could have. I don't know. From that point on, that's all I ever wanted to do. I remember, you may not remember this game. It was called Operation, where it had a body and it had like electrodes. I can recall as a kid spending hours playing Operation, and I quickly realized I didn't have a steady enough hand to be a surgeon, but internal medicine, I don't have to cut anything. So it was a perfect fit.
That is a great fit. And if I know anything at all about you, it's that you're not just interested in healing the body. You are interested in the complete healing of a person. Tell me about that passion and where that started for you.
I really felt like it started with a patient that I had early in my medical journey. She came into the practice, and when she came in, she had this list of complaints. And as a physician, you want your patients to come in prepared for the appointment. But when they've got like a 20 item list of things that are wrong with them, it's kind of like, oh, wow, can anyone actually have that much wrong? And so I was sitting there, and I just put her list aside, and I just said, just tell me, you know, what's on this list. Tell me how you're feeling, and just started asking some really probing questions. And as I was listening to her talk, I just felt God's spirit say, this is something a pill's going to fix. And so in the back of my head, I kind of shut that voice down a little bit, because I thought, okay, I've got 15 minutes per patient. You know, I don't have time to do a counseling session or whatever was needed at that moment. And so I went about my normal day, like I went with the patient, my normal procedures, set her up for labs. And I was about to walk out of the door having a prescription in hand that I was going to give her. Basically, it was a sleeping pill, because I thought maybe she could just get it. And I knew she needed to be kind of more relaxed. So I thought maybe if I could just get her to sleep at night, that would fix most of the problems. So I was walking out the door, and I had this prescription in my hand. And I just really felt the Spirit of God say, you're going to leave her in the same condition you left her in. And you know that pill won't help her. And I was so convicted that I went to my desk and sat down. I'm like, so what am I supposed to do with this woman? And at that point in my journey, I had already kind of gone through my own spiritual transformation with God. This person was very successful, and I could see myself in her, that the same identity crisis, kind of your profession and your identity in Christ getting all mingled together and confused. And so I sat down and I wrote out to her what I now call a prescription for living free. It was 7 things I wanted her to start evaluating about her life. It ended up being my first book, Set Free to Live Free, Breaking Through the 7 Lies Women Tell Themselves. So I went through that and I wrote it on a prescription. I went back in that room and I said, look, I know this is, you know, unconventional. This is not typical medicine, but I can give you a pill if you want one, but that's not going to solve the problem. It's just going to be a Band-Aid. Are you willing to do something with me that you've never done before? I'm willing for the next 30 days to send you a text related to these issues. And I want you to meditate on these questions about how the question I'm asking, how your answer relates to this question. And is it a truthful answer or is it a lie that you believe? And she looked at me like, and she just burst out in tears. Yeah. I mean, she just burst out in tears. And she goes, yes, I'm willing to try anything. I'm desperate. And at that moment, that's when when we parted and did that through that course, at that moment, that's when God really showed me that my medical practice really wasn't about all the education. That was all needed to do the practice of medicine. But healing was something completely different than the practice of medicine. Healing required me to actually go into people's lives and to bring God into their life, heaven to earth type of process. And so it really transformed the way I looked at everything from that moment forward, and definitely the way I practice medicine.
So busy is affecting all of us, especially as families, especially as women, but you're a mom too. How is busy playing a role in our lives? And well, let's start there. How do you see busy affecting us as families?
Well, I think most of us, if we look at our kids' schedule, you know, we all have calendars that keep us up to date. If we took our kids' schedules and layered them on top of our schedules, we would see just how busy we really are. And even honestly, having teens, I'll just give an example. My oldest son, when he got to high school, there was his freedom that came with that. And now all of these varsity sports and junior varsity sports become available. And then it was like, I got to be in everything. And so every single season there was a sport, he was in a sport. And some seasons he was dual sport. We went from, you know, having this very relaxed lifestyle to never being in our house. So we were gone all day long, it seems. Track meets for 4 or 5 hours. And then from there you have to run to soccer. And so it was ridiculous. And when I recall going home one day, returning home from one of these meets, and both of my kids were in the back just zopped. And it was like 8 o'clock. Yeah. They haven't went to sleep at 8 o'clock since they were like toddlers or something. I mean, they were zonked. And I mean, that deep, full on stage 4, like floppy, if you could actually lift them, get them out of the car. And my husband and I looked at each other. We were like, something's got to give. You know, this is breaking us in all the wrong ways. And we sat down with them, you know, we let them finish up their season. We want them to be people who you say you're going to do something, do it. But then when we started looking at the upcoming year, we had to get real serious about, you know, is that really the life you want? Are you even enjoying the sport anymore? Because you could tell they weren't. They were getting where they were just pushing through it. I think it's important as parents to model that for our kids, because they see us just kind of forging through life sometimes, not really enjoying it, not really experiencing God's goodness or his blessings or his grace, and just trying to do all the things that other people sometimes want us to do that maybe we're afraid to give an honest no about. And we have to help them understand that it is okay to not want to do every good thing. Every good work isn't your work. Every good opportunity isn't one to be done right now. And so there's an education that has to happen in our society, and particularly in the body of Christ, I feel, because sometimes we confuse giving our yes with being Christ-like. Christ didn't say yes to everything. There's timing that has to be played into that. And that timing requires us to really get deeper in discernment and prayer and understanding kind of what season we're in and what's right for that season.
Well, I know that we're both in the same season with our kids. And I remember not too long ago saying, I think I'm creating enough margin in my life. And then my kids bump right into that margin with their overloaded schedules. Like, this is not healthy. And I know that I've spent a lot of time praying through, what are we supposed to do? I would assume you're doing the same thing at your house.
Yes, you have to, because I have two sons, and so they don't always like the same things, and they're in different grades and levels. So one will be in varsity and one will be in JV. So that's two games a week just right there.
You know,
just because they're not even in the same, on the same teams necessarily, same school, different teams. When we sit down as a family to look at that, I like to kind of overlap our schedule.
Yeah.
For example, I'm actually going, I have a trip, a speaking engagement coming up, but I feel like it's important to be back in time for my son's football game. And so whenever I make those type of arrangements to speak, I'm very clear about, you know, I hate to rush out after speaking at like a 10 o'clock, but by 11:15, I've got to be on the road to be back for this game, because I feel like it's important that our kids know that we care about their activities. We're not downgrading them. We're not saying they're not important, but there has to be some real discernment about what activities need to occur and do they need to be in everything.
Absolutely.
You know, because I mean, especially if they're in high school, I always say, if we're looking at your grades and your activities now have become your priorities and not your grades, we got an issue here.
Yep. And I think that we have to give our family's room so that God can invade every area of our lives. One of the things I love the very most is you describing rest as holy and sacred. That's actually the title of your book, is Sacred Rest. So tell me, Sandra, how resting is a holy practice and why this has become so important to you?
Well, it became important to me because I completely burned out. I got to a point in my life where on the outside, you know, my Facebook profile and my Instagram, you know, feed looked extraordinarily successful. People were seeing me all over the place, recognizing that I was getting some visibility within my field. And so it looked very successful. But in that moment, it felt very traumatic, to be honest with you. I had no peace. I had no joy. I had gotten to the point where I remember one day getting home with my kids from daycare, and I set them in front of the TV, and I was like, you know, okay, maybe the TV can kind of babysit for me for a few minutes while I get some rest. And I was so tired, I didn't even make it to the bedroom. I just laid out on the foyer floor. And as I was laying on that floor, it was like out of nowhere, it's like the peace of God just fell on me. And I'm laying on this floor with tears streaming down my face. And I'm like, God, what is this? And it was like, it's like he was saying, this is the rest you've been refusing. That whole concept that I was refusing something that I obviously so desperately needed. And it took me to the word of God in Isaiah 30, 12 through 15, where it talks about, in returning in rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and trust shall be your strength. And then it finishes with, but you were unwilling. And it was as if those same words had been spoken back to me. I'm offering you this gift, but you're not willing to take it. And it was then that connection between rest and trust really hit me. I was saying that I trusted God, but if I'm not resting, I'm not showing him, I'm not putting action to my faith that I'm actually trusting him. Because my inability to slow down, my need to always have my hands in it, my desires to always be in control are in no way showing any type of trust. And all it's doing is keeping me in a state of being in turmoil. And so when I got that recognition of it, I started praying, God, take me to that place where rest in your presence is all I seek, that holy, sacred place, that all I want to do is sit in your presence. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm not asking you for answers. I just want to be with you. And that's the rest that I found. And that's part of why I call it sacred, because it's this place where there is nothing ever between us. But we always feel like there's stuff between us. And when we can get into that settled heart, soul position, then we can sense that there is truly nothing between us. It's a place of deepest intimacy. It's a place that I pray everyone who reads my book or hears me speak on the topic, that is the heart's desires, that they get to that place of true peace in just being in his presence.
And if we do not model this as mothers, then we're teaching our kids, whether we mean to or not, that they need to be frenetic to be approved of, or we're just teaching them the wrong way to do this, where there is a better way that's more joy. So if we're living tired, worn out lives, our kids are going to do that at an even greater level, right?
Right, because they're looking at you to see how life is lived out. And so, yes, their life may be different in their career choices and those types of things, but overall, the day-to-day functioning of life is what makes it meaningful and good. You know, we have extraordinary moments, but most of our life is full of ordinary moments.
Yep.
And so we have to take a look at how are we living out our ordinary day-to-day life? Are we living it out in a way that when our children, because it's not about what anybody else sees, because like I said, my Facebook and Instagram, it looked really successful. But that at that moment when I was burned out, the people who are closest to me knew the truth. So your family always knows what's really going on behind the scenes.
Yep.
And so they can see when you have your happy, energetic smile on Sunday and you're like bone tired on Monday and, you know, grumpy and irritable. Because the lack of rest really starts affecting and transforming our personality, how we interact with other people. It starts interfering with our marriages. One of the biggest benefits I've seen, honestly, from this whole rest journey for myself has been the transformation in my relationship with my husband. Mm-hmm. Because I'd gotten to a point where I was so depleted at the end of every day. I literally came home one day and said, I have nothing left to give you. I can't give you a hug. I can't give you a kiss. I definitely can't be intimate with you. I have nothing left to give you of myself because I have poured it all out in that office. And I remember the look on his face when I said that, because I think he really realized just how broken I was in the moment. I literally felt like I was at the end of myself.
Well, resting and healing and coming back from that moment looks different for every person, right? So rest is not the same. That's one of the things that I've learned from you. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, that was a huge discovery for me. It was through Genesis, really, is where God had me for that season to really go back to the beginning, go back to kind of his pattern for rest and what it should look like in our lives. You know, I'd always worked from a concept of some people say I'll rest when I'm dead, or I'll rest when I find time, or, you know, I'll rest when I take a vacation and all those kind of things. But none of that was helping me in the moment. And so when I started looking at Genesis and looking at just the original pattern of when rest is even introduced, you know, it's introduced with the seventh day. I started looking at like this on the sixth day, man was created. And then on the seventh day, God rested. And I started to think, well, what was man doing on that seventh day? And the scripture doesn't talk about any type of work being done then. It only talks about man working in the second chapter after the day of rest. And I thought, God, have we completely got it all wrong? We've all thought that we should work to earn our rest, where even in the beginning, your pattern was you created us. You told us who we were. You commissioned us. You gave us a mandate of what to do. And then the very next thing you did was you set us in a 24-hour period of rest. We weren't even the whole 24 hours on the sixth day. We weren't even there. So our first full day on the earth was actually a day of rest. Is that how we're supposed to live out our lives? Because if we work from a place of rest, we're working from a place of fullness. We are working from a full cup. We can pour out because we have something inside of us. We've sat long enough with you to be filled. And so when I got that mindset, it changed everything. And it started me on this process of learning about what areas of my life do I pour out in and what areas need to be filled back up. And that's where the seven types of rest came from: the physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, sensory, creative, and I'm probably missing one, social. So those were the seven types of rest. And then I started looking at the science behind it. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I like to look at the science and medical part of it and what the research says. And so I started looking at that and comparing it with the scripture. I feel like the word of God is the foundation, but I don't disclaim science either because I think God's in that too.
Yep.
So I started looking at them both together and trying to get kind of a more complete picture of how do we get rest in every one of these seven areas. And not just get it, but how do we continually keep filled? How do we keep it at a high level so that we're not always pouring out of our overwhelm, but we're pouring out of our overflow?
Well, I think it's so important for moms to explore these different areas of rest. I was really interested to find out that you may be rested in one of those areas, but the other one can be completely depleted. And then you have a flat tire on your car. It doesn't drive the way it's supposed to. And I hope you're okay with this, but I want to put the link to the rest quiz in our show notes so that our friends who are listening can go ahead and go online and figure out what area of rest that they're lacking in and then model something different to their kids. Tell us what they're going to see when they go online.
Yeah, at restquiz.com, intensive, because I wanted it to be as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
And so it takes about 5 or so minutes. I always tell people don't sit there and contemplate each question before you answer it. It should be rapid fire. First thing that comes to mind, you answer and you're clicking on a dial and you just push it down.
5 minutes are intensive. we have a real problem.
You'd be surprised. I say at the top of the page, this may take 5 or so minutes. And people say, oh, that's way too long. But honestly, if we don't have 5 minutes for ourselves, I'm not sure what to do at that point. But we really do have to just dedicate that time to find out which of the 7 types you're most efficient in. Because once, what you'll get at the end of that, you get a report that states your level of each of the 7 types of rest. Most people will have a greater deficit in one area over the other. And the problem is they may have been trying to get rest, but get it in the wrong area. For example, a lot of people feel like if they're tired all the time, I just need more sleep. Well, if you're already sleeping 7-8 hours and your sleep is fairly restful, you know, you wake up and you feel energized initially, but then 2 hours in, you're needing 12 cups of coffee to keep yourself going, then it's probably not sleep that's the issue. The deficit is likely in another area. For example, it may be sensory rest that you're deficient in. If you're a mom at home with a bunch of little ones and they're always touching you and they're talking and laughing, and you know, it's not that they're doing anything wrong, they're being kids, but your senses are being overloaded. And if you don't recognize that, then you may not ever do anything to undo the damage or to pour back into yourself. And so you can't understand why you don't like being touched by anybody else, or you don't like being around loud noises or hearing praise music anymore. And it's because you're sensory overloaded and you don't really know it.
That's so good. How can we begin to encourage rest in our kids as well? What steps are you taking in your home?
Well, the big one right now has a lot to do with technology. Kids are sensory overloaded, almost all of them. And so if what I'm seeing, particularly with my kids from the ages, they're teens now, but honestly, from the ages of about 9 up, that I had to be really diligent about the amount of electrical stimuli that they had throughout the day. So for example, if I started noticing that one of my sons was getting more easily agitated, and start looking at how much time is he spending on his iPad or on his Xbox or all these different things. Because each of us responds differently when we get rest deficit. Some of us withdraw in, some of us explode out. And so looking at your children's behaviors and how they're responding to a lack of rest will help you to see when they're having a rest deficit. Now, they may not know where the deficit is, but you can start trying to put things together. The amount of electronics they're using, how busy their activities are. Is there any downtime for them to have mental rest? You know, school's intensive. The higher grades you go, the more intensive it gets. Also, not every student is easy to pick up things. So one child may be, you know, a really easy to learn person, and the other one may have to really work at it. And you have to understand that a child that really is having to put in a lot of hours of studying mentally needs mental rest, because they could lay down at night with all of that stuff still in their head, ruminating over it. So they're not getting into a deeper level of sleep because they're actually ruminating over their study material. And that's a type of mental rest deficit. For us adults, usually when we do that, we're either ruminating over conversations or our to-do list. We can't turn our brain off. Well, kids do the same thing. And so they need to know some techniques as well of what to do when that happens. How do you break those mental cycles when they're kind of going around so that you can get deeper levels of sleep and relaxation at night?
I feel like this is going to be a huge issue in the next generation. That I heard Netflix say that their biggest competitor is not another company. It's actually sleep. And I don't know about you, Sandra, but that's really scary because when we start to deplete our sleep bank, our ration goes out the window.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, unfortunately, when I talk about rest, a lot of people will say, oh yeah, I rested this past weekend. And I'll say, well, what did you do? And they'll say, oh, I sat down and I, you know, watched 3 hours of Netflix and just relaxed and rested. And, you know, I don't call that rest. I call that just watching TV because unless really rest should equal restoration. And if you can't tell me what got restored, which of those seven areas got restored, it's not really rest. It's just cessation of normal activity. Sometimes it's pure laziness. Sometimes it's procrastination, if we're being honest. We're just not doing stuff that we probably could be doing that would possibly be more restful, like a leisure walk or like meditating or prayer or something like that. It's easy to flick on a series and watch it for 12 hours and stay in the same spot. It takes a little bit more effort maybe to say, you know, the rest I need is social rest. I need to find some time around people who are life-giving to me. That means I've got to be vulnerable. It means I've got to get out of my comfort zone. It means I got to put on clothes and get out of my pajamas sometimes, you know, on a Saturday. But if that's the rest I'm needing, then that's where I'm going to get the most healing and the most benefit from.
Yeah. And what I find is that that behavior, that sitting down and watching Netflix or staying on Instagram till 11 o'clock at night, that's actually numbing behavior. It's not healing me at all. It's just numbing the things that hurt and that feeling of exhaustion. And what you really encourage us to do is to heal those under layers and rest. And this is a deeply spiritual thing to do. I was thinking just this weekend, knowing I was getting ready to talk to you, that God in Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Like, I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But the being still part of that means we have better thinking about God when we rest, right?
Absolutely. And I love that scripture as well. I have it all over my office space because when I really felt like I got a deeper understanding of that scripture, I really feel like rest is a type of intimacy with God, a deeper level of intimacy. And so I always look at sometimes in the King James Version, it'll say Adam knew his wife. And I'm like, God, you want us to be still and to know you at that level of intimacy, where there's nothing between us, where it is a sacred space that no one and nothing can come between us. And like I said, it's not that anything ever comes between him and us, it's between us and how we view and look at him. And when we get to that place, it really does, it takes you to a deeper level of trust. Because you, even if bad things are happening, and even if things aren't always exactly as you expect, you trust his heart. You trust who he is, not the circumstances and what you're seeing. And so, you know, I feel like there's just so many benefits to getting to that place of rest for ourselves as parents and for our children, because the more they can see us living out our faith, the more real it becomes to them. It's not just our faith. It becomes theirs as well, because they can see how it's lived out.
Well, Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith, it has been a gift to have you here with us. Would you do me a favor? Would you be willing to pray for the women who are listening and they have recognized they have a rest deficit and they're leading families and they want to know what to do?
Absolutely. Father, we thank you for the gift of rest that you've given us. And we just pray right now, God, that for everyone that's listening, God, that you will give us a fresh understanding, a new vision of what resting in you looks like. Help us to learn how to stay close to you. Help us to learn how to lay down those things that feel like weight. Help us to be able to lead our children into that place of sacred and holy, that place where God, you and we stand together. And we know that you are surrounding us with all your love, all your goodness, all your faithfulness. And Father, we pray that as each of these families go deeper into their understanding of your rest and your trust and peace, that you allow us to be able to then share that with others to help break down the walls that busyness have built up, to be able to find a place of comfort that we can bring others into, a place of love, a place of acceptance, a place of belonging that can only be found when we understand that we are your beloved and you are ours. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Sandra said some things that are shaking up my world and need to be committed to prayer. You too? Parents with kids at home still have primary influence in their kids' lives, and we need to be helping them find time to rest and hear from the Lord. Jump on social media and let us know what stood out to you. You can hashtag us at Moms in Prayer or at Moms in Prayer or at Leaning Heist so we can join that conversation. We'd love to hear from you and what you are thinking and praying about. This week, I want to directly ask you to give to Moms in Prayer. There's so much more we want to do. Booklets, languages that have been asked to be translated into, resources that need developing, and some of that is slowed down by a financial need. It's easy to give to one of these projects by jumping on the website or text the word steward to 41444. That's the word steward to 41444. Pray about it, will you, friend? Just a reminder that our show notes for today's episode and more about today's guests is found at the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference. Moms believing God can do more. Moms just like you. See you next week.